Hello and welcome to episode 27 of Track. At Track, our aim is to shine a light on the UK running club scene. This week on Track, we have a roundup of a big couple of weeks of racing in the UK, including the Gateshead Diamond League, the Loughborough International, a BMC event at Leeds, the MK3000 event, the Sound Running Meet in the US, and more. We cover the latest news, including the GB team selection for the upcoming Team European Championships in Poland. And we also have an in-depth interview with 1339 5K man and GB international runner Tom Mortimer. This week, I'm joined by Kat Hutchison and George Beardmore. How are we doing, guys?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, George. George, I'll come to you straight away. A couple of things to talk about. You and I both ran the 3000 at Milton Keynes last week, and you came away with a nice PB. So talk us through that race and the event, and also tell us about your upcoming race this week as well.
Yeah, so PB 8:27.1, I think it was. Just 2.5 seconds quicker than I ran in September. So I mean, I probably was aiming for a little bit quicker in all honesty, but PB is a PB. I ran the 3K very well last year, mainly because it was kind of the only... Well, you couldn't do the 5K on the track. So, yeah, set the bar pretty high last year. So to come away with a PB and still feel like kind of I left a bit of time out there, or it wasn't like my best performance, is, yeah, a good position to be in. Race went pretty well. Similar sort of thing to the BMC a couple of weeks before, was as soon as the pacemaker dropped out, kind of I was the one who ended up at the front and did everyone else a favour as always. But I think, again, it was the right thing to do in the circumstances. I think in hindsight, unlike in Trafford, I think I could have won at the weekend. I think at 600 to go, I probably backed off more than I should, sort of in fear of like blowing up. Like you get at the end of a race where you really want to kick, but you don't want to kind of overdo it. But I think four people came past me at 600 to go, and I wish I'd have just kind of held my line, held them off, and like just done that for as long as possible. I let four people past and then kind of found another gear in the last lap and went back past a couple of them. But for the other two, it was sort of too late. So I think other than that, it was a pretty well-run race, and like I say, PB, and hopefully a lot quicker to come kind of later in the season. But yeah, it was a good event, and pacemakers did a good job. I think Dan Jarvis did more or less every race. It was pretty good session for him. It was a good race, and sort of giving me a bit of confidence going into this weekend as well, 5K. But yeah, I'm kind of in PB shape in, you know, over kind of every distance at the moment. So hopefully, yeah, can PB again in the 5K.
What was the pace set at before the race started? What were you told it was going to go out at?
I was supposed to go out at 8:20 pace, which I think is 67 point something, or 66 point something, around 67s. And Dan paced it perfectly. But then sort of about, is it 800 or a K, people started to drop off the pacemaker, and I was sort of sixth or seventh in the group. And having done Trafford 2 weeks before and kind of realised how important the pacemaker is when they're there, I just thought, and there's no point having the pacemaker there and not using him. So I think at about a K, I made a move to kind of get to the front and get onto the pacemaker and stayed with him. I think he dropped out 1800. And I think he was a little bit down on the pace, but that was probably more like the group's fault for falling off him and him sort of waiting a little bit for us. And I think first 2K we were on bang on 8:30 pace. So 2:50s and then 2:47 for the last K. So yeah, pretty well paced race. But as I say, I think if I was in maybe the race up and was in a race where the pace was 8:20 from the start, I could have maybe held that rather than kind of picking up the last K like I did. So yeah, pretty good race all in all.
And 14:41 you ran, didn't you, at Manchester or Trafford?
Yes, yeah, that's right. So
that's the target for this weekend. Do you know anything about who else is in your race, or if it's going to be paced or anything like that?
I'm sure it will be paced, all the BMCs are. I don't, quite a few people from Loughborough going, but I think a lot of them are doing the 15 this weekend. So I'm sure the field will be good. Hopefully I can be in a race where I don't have to go to the front like I have done in the last couple. And I've not needed to go to the front both times, but kind of it felt like the right thing to do in the race when the pace was starting to slow as soon as the pacemaker dropped out. So it'd be nice to be in a race where I don't have to think about that, and like, you don't have to be like checking whether the pace is slowing. You can just sort of stare at the person's heels in front of you and just kind of hang on for as long as you can. That's kind of the reason everyone loves BMC so much, is because that's kind of the type of races that you can get in. So hopefully that'll be the case this weekend.
Kat will be on here in a couple of weeks' time, and George will be saying that you led for 3K.
Probably. Yeah, ran in lane 2 for the first 2K, and then and then led for the next 2K.
Yeah, probably. That's probably more likely, but yeah, we'll see.
Kat, you watched George's race, didn't you, on the live stream?
Yeah, it's good to watch both your races.
We even got a bit of a shout out, didn't we, in the podcast during?
Yeah, it was good. I think George needs to up his social media presence or something, because on both the races I've watched, no one knows who it is when he hits the front of the race. Everyone's waiting for him to come round and get his number and go, "Oh, it's George Beardmore." But once they worked out who he was, they did do a nice little shout out to the podcast. Good to hear. And some great, great commentary and great coverage of the race in general. It was, you could really get a good idea of what was going on. Mm. And yeah, it was great to be able to see both of you racing, see how it went.
Yeah, I'm back there for the 5,000 in July, George. Are you doing the same?
I think I am, actually. Yeah, and there's another one in August, I think, at Milton Keynes as well. So, I'm definitely doing the July one. How did your race go? Obviously, first race since the marathon. How do you feel?
Yeah, it was good, thanks. I really enjoyed it. So my race was paced supposedly at 8:50s. I think about 71, 72 seconds per lap.
72s would be 9 dead. So, yeah, 71. Okay.
Yeah, so in my head, I wanted to break 9. So I had sort of 72s in my head. So I went sort of straight to the back of the pack in my race, tried to really sort of run comfortably for the first few laps, wait for things to settle down. A bit like you, I did pace it relatively well with that in mind. So I pretty much clocked 72s for most. There were maybe a few 73s in the middle there when the pack started to break off a bit. My race was, as you said, paced by Dan Jarvis and Aaron Scott as well. I think they dropped out at about 12 or 1400 meters. In hindsight, there was a pack of 4 or 5 ahead of me, and I think I should have gone with them because they all dipped under 9 minutes. So I think I was just a bit too cautious, a bit like you, didn't want to go off too fast and then pay the price. So there was a bit of time when I was on my own in the middle, sort of in no man's land, and I got to one lap to go, and I'm pretty sure it was something like 7:51 or something, or 7:52. Yeah. So I had to have run a 68 last lap, and I didn't quite manage it. So I came through, and my time was 9.00.06. So 0.06 off breaking 9 minutes. But it was good. Pleased with the race. But yeah, a bit of that niggle there. I didn't dip under the 9 minutes. But hopefully next time that will happen.
Yeah, Ryan, I think I said to you afterwards, you'd only done 2 sessions, really. And obviously, kind of all the stuff you've been doing for the marathon was probably not that useful for a 3K. So to do, a PB off marathon training, then a break, and then kind of not many specific sessions is pretty good.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it. And I don't put too much pressure on these sorts of races. So it was nice just to be out there and racing. It was good. As we said, there was a night of 3,000 meter racing, basically, and it was the SOAR MK 3,000 meters. So the 16 races, about 200 finishes across all the races. As we said, the races were graded, paced by Dan Jarvis, Aaron Scott, amongst others. According to their data, 60% of athletes ran a PB. It was live streamed through Running Live on Facebook, as we've said, and they're holding another similar event for the 5,000 meter later in the summer. So, George, did you want to run through perhaps the elite women and the elite men's race, which were held at the end of the evening?
Yeah, so the elite women, it was Gemma Kersey that won in 9:16, I think, and she won comfortably from Ellen Weir in 9:36 and Tessa McCormick in 9:39. So, yeah, very impressive win for Gemma Kersey, 20 seconds on the field. It wasn't a PB, I'm not sure what her PB is, but yeah, still a very good run. And then in the elite men's race, it was Jonathan Escalante Phillips from Cambridge and Coleridge, who won in 8:03.19. That was a PB. And then Ricky Harvey of Aldershot, 8:06, and Ian Crowe-Wright from Brighton, 8:07, both PBs as well. I think about 13 athletes in both the elite races and quite a few PBs, particularly in the men's race. So, yeah, looked like I didn't catch either of them because I think I was cooling down, but watched the elite men's race back on the Facebook, and I think Escalante Phillips ran like a 60-second last lap and kind of, yeah, looked really impressive. So, yeah, good races, I think.
I've just had a quick look. Gemma Kersey's PB is 9 minutes 10 seconds from way back in 2012, though. So it's quite an old PB there. Yeah. But, yeah, a great win there. Kat, did you watch those elite races?
Yeah, I watched them. They were good. I think Gemma Kersey definitely benefited from having a pacer for a lot of it. That really helped, and I think, but she probably could have done with a bit more of a race to get closer to her PB, but she looked really strong. It was a good run, and the race for the third, second and fourth was a bit more interesting, a bit more of a proper race. So yeah, it was good to see. I like to see them making use of the paces at these things. I think they had a pacer further down the field as well for the next group, which was good in the women's race.
Yeah,
both races were good.
The second race we're going to talk through is the Bristol Track Club Elite 5K, which took place on the same day, the 22nd of May. So this is an event which is being held at Odd Down Cycle Circuit Track in Bath, which is basically a cycling circuit, and by all accounts is a fairly quick course. There were two elite races, so a male and a female race, 28 finishes in the men's race and 22 in the women's race. And this was a precursor to a series of events which is going to be taking place there over the summer months, where it's going to be open to sort of a wider number of club runners. In the elite women over the 5K distance, Charlotte Arter of Cardiff won that race in 16:10. Naomi Mitchell came second of Reading in 16:37. And Daisy Baker, who's an under 17, came third in 16:52. In the elite men's race, Joshua Grace, who we've been seeing as a pacemaker at the trials in Kew of Aldershot, Farnham and District, he won the race in 14:12. Close finish for second place with Chris Purnham of Loughborough in 14:13. And Tom Marshall of Cardiff came third in 14:16. Okay, guys, shall we move on to the Gateshead Diamond League? So obviously this was a fairly good meet and the first Diamond League of the season being held at Gateshead after it had been moved from Rabat. So this took place on the Sunday, the 23rd of May. So in the men's 3,000 metre steeplechase, we had Mark Pearce, who ran 8:32 to finish in a really strong fourth place. In the same race was Phil Norman and Zach Seddon, who finished further down the field. Phil Norman ran 8:35 and Zach Seddon ran 8:38. Phil Norman, obviously, off the back of achieving that Olympic qualifying time previously in the week, though, early in the week. So backed that one up really well. What other races stuck out for you, George? Any of them in particular?
Men's 5K was a great race, not necessarily the British interest, although the Brits all ran well, particularly Jack Rowe and Jake Smith running PBs, 13:35 and 13:38. The race at the front was really good. Mohamed Khatir from Spain, an amazing kick to beat Nicholas Comelli from Kenya. So that was a great race at the front. The conditions looked pretty horrendous, so there were some very impressive, particularly that 13:08 from Khatir in those conditions was, yeah, very, very impressive. And then the women's 15 was really good too. Like I say, in those conditions for Muir to run 4:03 was very impressive.
In that race as well, we had Katie Snowden, who came third in 4:08. Ailish McColgan as well, who came in sixth or seventh in 4:10. And Adele Tracy, who also ran 4:10. The men's 1500, we had George Mills and Archie Davis. Again, that wasn't really the focus of the race, with a really strong Australian field and Jakob Ingebrigtsen taking the win in the end. But as you said, the conditions were pretty dire for most of it by the looks of the coverage. windy and wet. But still made for good watching. Kat, did you watch much of this one?
Yeah, I watched it. Oh, it's good. The men's 5000 was probably the highlight for me. I thought Katir's run was just really impressive, how strong he looked throughout. Once it was down to the last lap or two, you just thought, Kavili's left it too late now. Katir's too fast over the short stuff. But that was a great little battle up front. But I found myself keep looking back to make sure that Jake Smith was still with the same group that he was with to start with, just to check he was going to run a PB. So hopefully he'll take some confidence from that in those bad conditions, he still ran a PB, and he probably would have got a much bigger PB if it wasn't. I mean, it looked awful. I think everyone complains about conditions, but it is just awful running around a track when it's windy and wet. Hopefully he'll take some confidence that he still ran well in those conditions. I love that race.
And obviously Jake will be running in the 10,000 meter trial soon, June the 5th. So yeah, a PB in the 5,000 just before that race should hopefully give him some confidence, as you said, in those really bad conditions. There was obviously a bit of, I don't know if you guys saw it, you won't go through it now, the bit of shoe talk again after Katir's race, because he was wearing those ASIC spikes or ASIC spikes. But it was the same old stuff there. But just great to see some Diamond League athletics on the BBC. George, did you want to jump ahead to the next Diamond League, which is taking place in Doha on Friday the 28th?
Yeah, so this Friday, and I think it's BBC Two from 5 till 7 p.m, I think. So yeah, it's good that it's on proper TV again. We don't have to kind of dig into the BBC website or wherever they normally put it. Some really good fields, some good British athletes there as well. So women's 800, Katie Hodgkinson's the only British entrant, but it's a world-class field that's like nearly Olympic final quality, really, maybe besides a couple of Americans, but all nine athletes have sub-2-minute PBs. Few in there that ran 156, 157. So it'll be interesting to see how Hodgkinson gets on in a field like that. I've only really seen her in fields so far where she's been the best, and considering her age, she's handled that really well. But it'll be interesting to see how she handles kind of, yeah, being in a properly world-class field. Men's 1500, there's no British athletes, but it's a pretty stacked field. Timothy Cheruiyot, Bethwell Bergen, Stewie McSwain, Ryan Gregson, Ronald Musagala. So pretty good field there. Again, no Brits in this woman's steeple, but Emma Coburn, Beatrice Chepkoech, some more Kenyans in there as well. Men's 800, probably another highlight. So kind of, I think Daniel Rowden and Jamie Webb have spent the last couple of months kind of out training in Florida pretty hard. So be interesting to see what times they run. Rowden hasn't raced yet. Jamie Webb ran 1:15 on the road, so the 600 metres in the Adidas Boston Games, and 1:15 is 1:40 pace, I think, something like that. So he's clearly in very good shape. We've seen what Max Bergen's done, so he's already laid down a marker for them. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see there. Rowden and Webb, they'll face kind of some top Kenyan athletes. Ferguson Rotich, probably the main one. And then the women's 3,000 metres is, I think it was basically a Kenyan championships. There were 7 Kenyans, 11 athletes in the field. No Brits, should be pretty fast though with kind of that many high quality names, probably faster than an Olympic final, because obviously you can't get 7 Kenyans in the Olympics. So yeah, plenty of high quality fields and some good fields in the field events, sprints, hurdles too. So yeah, BBC Two, 5 o'clock on Friday.
Definitely. Be there or be square. Just to go back to Keely Hodgkinson and Max Bergen, George, who both ran at Strava. So Keely Hodgkinson ran a 1:58.89, and Max Bergen ran, was it a 1:44 he ran?
1:44 PB.
So obviously both coming off amazing performances. Exciting stuff in an Olympic year as well, I suppose.
Also really exciting to see Daniel Rowden, because he was great last year in the British Championships, and so it's going to be really good to see him in the same race as Max Bergen and see how that goes.
That men's 800, same as the women's 800, and actually most of it is in sense, but that men's 800 is a really interesting one for British champs, because obviously you've got Giles, who ran in like ridiculously quick indoors, but we haven't seen him for a while. I don't know whether he's injured or what's going on there, and we haven't seen Webb and Rowden yet, but we will do. And I think Max Bergin only seems to, or so far, he seems to race his best when he runs from the front like he did at the BMCs last year, like he did in Strava. So it'll be interesting to see how he approaches the trials, whether he kind of goes for it like he did there. And yeah, and there's it's not just those four, there's plenty of others as well. So interesting to see. It's only a month away now, I think, the trials. So
yeah.
George, we were going to mention the event at the Loughborough International on Sunday the 23rd and highlight some of the big performances from there. Just before we do, if I just quickly mention the Leeds BMC, which took place a little while ago, there were sort of 800 races in the men's and women's and 3,000 metre men's race and a mixed 3,000 metre race as well. So winners in those races included Will Bellamy for the men's 800A race. He ran 1:52. Beth Ansell in the women's 800 metre race. She ran 2:13. Joshua Dickinson ran 8:25 to win the men's 3,000 metres. And the top women in the mixed 3,000 metre race, the best woman was there, was Steffi Pennycook, who ran 9:24. So another BMC taking place in Leeds. Again, though, the conditions were pretty awful on that night.
Yeah, was that the thing, was that live streamed on Running Live?
It was live streamed somewhere, yeah.
I watched some of that 3,000 race and that really was some bad conditions. It looked horrendous.
Yeah, so those times might need to be taken with a bit of a pinch of salt there, but
yeah.
Absolutely. George, the Loughborough International took place on Sunday, just gone. Talk us through the highlights.
Yeah, probably say the standout performances were Izzy Boffey in the women's 800. She ran 2:03.9, which I think is about a second or no, 2 seconds slower than her PB, but she won by 6 seconds and kind of ran from the front. So impressive win. And then men's 1500, this week's guest, Tom Mortimer, with a pretty big PB, I think, 3:42.9 in the 1500. So he looks to be in pretty good shape for the European Team Championships this weekend. Looked really good last lap. I mean, for someone particularly that's maybe more of a 3K, 5K runner, that was a very impressive win against a pretty good field. Also, Carl Langford won the men's 800, 1:49, ahead of Max Wharton, also 1:49. Men's 3K was a bit of an interesting race. They went through 2K in 6 minutes, kind of absolutely jogging. And then I think Matt Stonier, he won in 8:30, so 2:30 last K. I think he ran a 1:24 last 600, which is pretty good going. So he won ahead of Rory Leonard, who ran 8:32. In the women's 3K, Beth Kidger won in 9:21 ahead of Sarah Astin, also in 9:21. Kate Avery ran 9:22. And then I think Revy Walcott-Nolan, yeah, she won the women's 1500 in 4:20. There was a power event as well. Luke Nuttall ran 4:06 for the 1500 to win. And then a couple of steeplechases as well. Jonathan Glenn ran 9:08 to win the men's steeplechase. And Sam Costley, who I've been training with quite a lot, he ran a PB, 9:24. And then Sarah Tate won the women's steeplechase in 10:28. Plenty of good races there.
Great stuff. So I think Tom Mortimer took about 5 seconds off that 1,500 metre PB, 4 or 5 seconds anyway. So a great run from him. Tom is our interviewee this week. So at the end of this little pre-show, we'll cut straight to the interview with Tom Mortimer. Really interesting chat with him. George, you mentioned the Boston Boost Games. Should also mention that Josh Lay ran in the men's mile event, which is basically, I don't know if you watched it, but a street mile. And he finished in 10th place in 4:05. In other people in that race included Clayton Murphy, who won the race, Sam Parsons, Jordan Guzman, and other some fairly big names in there. Also across in the States, there was the Sound Running Track Meet, and this was a while ago now, this was 14th and 15th of May. Just a couple of really big performances to pick out because of some athletes making those Olympic standards. So friend of the show, Kat, and past interviewee Verity Ockenden ran a 15:03 51 5,000 meters to get the Olympic standard in that event. Katie Snowden ran 4:02 to get a 2.5 second PB in the 1500 meter Olympic standard. Jess Judd, Amy Eloise Markoff were less than a second off the 10,000 meter Olympic standard of 31:25. And there were some other great performances from people like Laura Muir, Adele Tracy, Jake Hayward in the 1500 meters, but really a stacked event, the Sound Running Track Meet, which again was live streamed and was really good watch. But Kat, 15:03:51 for Verity. She must be chuffed with that, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that was a great race. It was an exciting race all round with Safan Hassan running the 14:35, completely like a different race out the front there. But yeah, really good quality field, which I think probably helped Verity a lot. Those five went under 15 minutes in the race. And she seemed to find a nice little pack to run with, just stuck in there. And yeah, I mean, I imagine she's over the moon with that after she's just, this year, she's just PB after PB. I think it's all come just at the right time. So hopefully she can get into that Olympic team. I mean, there's a lot of competition, but she's just progressing in every race. So hopefully she's just peaked at the right time for this. So yeah, it was really, really exciting to watch. I spent the whole time kind of trying to time how many seconds after Safan Hassan she was going through to see if she was going to get under that 15:10, and she totally smashed it. So yeah, great race, really good to watch.
Yeah, one of those athletes, I think, and you could probably say the same about Katie Snowden, Gemma Reekie, Bergie and Hodgkinson, that have benefited from a delayed Olympics, because I think, in fact, probably the British team on it as a whole as well, because kind of the depth we've got now in some of the middle distances, and with people like Bergen, Hodgkinson, Jake Haywood running 3:36, you know, not far off the standard. Ockenden and Snowden now having the standards. Like, so many, the depth just seems to have gone kind of through the roof in the last 6 months. It's quite interesting. I don't know why, what's changed, whether it's just kind of people have been training more and training better, but, and I'm sure some people would say shoes, but I don't. Yeah, the depth is, yeah, he has got a lot better over the last few months.
There does seem to be real GB interest across the board, really, with the middle distance and distance events now. Most of these events, in both the men's and women's, there seem to be people to cheer for, which is really good, particularly, as you said, in the Olympic year.
Yeah, definitely, because it wasn't long ago that, you know, you'd be watching Diamond Leagues and, you know, you might have, you know, Chris O'Hare or Charlie Rice, but other than that, there weren't that many Brits involved in the distance races, where now they're not only in the fields, but they're kind of winning or contenders to win. So yeah, it's good.
Well, talking of events, George, I want you to talk us through the announcement. We know there's been a couple of last minute changes, we think, but the GB team announced for the European Team Championships, which is taking place in Poland, 29th of May. As we said, Tom Mortimer, we've mentioned him already. He's been selected for the 5,000 metres, and we discussed that a little bit in the interview later. But who else has been selected to represent GB?
Yeah, so this is European Team Championships. I think it's one athlete per event, per country, and France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Portugal, Spain and Ukraine. I don't know how they were decided and why there's no Norway or anyone else, but anyway, that is what it is. So it's on BBC Red Button, BBC website, 2:30 till 6:30 on Saturday, and then 12 till 3:30 on Sunday. So the women's team, 800 metres, Adele Tracy, 1500 metres, Erin Wallace, 3K was Amelia Quirk, and Amelia Quirk was on the kind of the British Athletics list, but Rebbe Walcott-Nolan is in the final entries on the European Athletics website, so it looks like Walcott-Nolan has replaced Quirk. 5,000 metres is Beth Kidger, and then again, maybe a late change in the 3,000 steeple. Amy Pratt is on the entry list, but I've seen on Instagram tonight the University of Birmingham Athletics tweet congratulations to Maisie Grice for being picked for the 3,000 metre steeple. So I think it might be Maisie Grice. And then in the men's team, there's Jake Whiteman in the 800, and probably the favourite and the kind of the biggest name in the team. Archie Davis in the 1500 metres. Tom Anderson is in the 3000 metres. Tom Mortimer, as we said, in the 5000, and then Phil Norman in the 3000 metre steeplechase.
If we move over to some sad news, and I'm sure people listening would have heard that running legend Ron Hill has passed away at the age of 82. So a huge number of tributes pouring in, detailing his amazing life in running and outside of running. One of the main things he was known for was an incredible running streak where he ran every day at least a mile for 52 years and 39 days, which is incredible to get your head around, really, to run every day for 52 years. He was also known for his innovation in regards to the clothing brand and the clothes that he wore when he was running. In terms of his actual performances, though, he had wins in the 1969 European Championships and 1970 Commonwealth Games for the marathon, which was the same year he also won the Boston Marathon. His time of 2:09 in Edinburgh was the second fastest marathon of all time when he ran it, and was also a British and European record. He finished seventh in the 10,000 metres at high altitude in Mexico in the Olympics. And he had world records over 10 miles, as well as 15 miles, 25K and 20 miles. So an amazing runner, I think, seen pretty much across the board as a running legend, really. So sad passing of Ron Hill there. I'm sure his memory will live on. Kat, there's also some news about Parkrun over the last week or so. Which isn't particularly positive. Did you want to take us through that?
So Parkrun initially announced they were going to come back on the 5th of June, which I must say I thought was a bit optimistic with the rest of the restrictions not lifting until the 21st of June. But they've now said that they're going to delay that until at least the 26th of June. Too many of the events have not been given permission yet to go ahead. So although I did say see that Pitchcroft was given permission yesterday, which is one of our Worcester Park runs. But I think Park Run's concern is that if only some park runs are allowed to restart, the others will be they'll be flooded by the ones. And that is definitely what would happen in Worcester, because the woods get 700 people, and all those 700 people will go to Pitchcroft if they can't go there. So I think it's probably a wise decision, but hopefully by the 26th of June, that should be fine for them to go ahead with whatever numbers. So I think lots of people looking forward to getting part ones back up and going.
Yeah, and a decision to be made, as you said, on June the 11th, as to whether that date of June the 26th is one where we see park runs again.
I did take the kids down on Sunday to the junior park run in Evesham. So they're going ahead at the moment, but they are much smaller events.
How many kids were there, do you reckon?
There was 24.
Okay.
I know that because Molly was 24. But bless her, she did do it, and she did it all with a smile on her face. She was puffing like a good one. She's definitely not a runner yet, but it was good fun.
You prescribed 80 miles a week.
Yeah, so starts next Monday. She's going to get that time down by 80 miles a week, couple of at least two sessions, and a good Sunday long run.
We'd like to hear.
We'll see how she goes. I'll update you on her training next week.
Sounds good. George, one more preview, I think we've not touched upon yet. On Thursday, we think there's an event taking place in Manchester. What do we know about that so far?
Yep, so this is the Brigham Sports Invitation, or the Manchester Invitation, I think it's called, at Sports City, I think. So same place as where the BMC is at. And there's found a few start lists on Facebook, and I think just going through it quickly, some standout names: men's 800, Carl Langford, Alex Bottrell, George Mills. It's quite a few international athletes as well. So Saul Ordonez has run 1:43. Men's 15, Morgan McDonald, Mark Scott, Andrew Butcher. Men's 5K, some big names there as well. Mohamed Mohamed, Luke Duffy, Rory Leonard, Jack Gray. And then in the women's events, women's 1500, Amy Griffiths, Jip Vastenberg, Sarah Healy. So, yeah, lots of international athletes as well. And then the women's 5K, Jenny Nesbitt, Rebecca Murray, Lily Partridge. And, yeah, so, yeah, plenty of names there. And there's probably more that I've missed just going through the list quickly. Actually, there's a steeplechase as well with Amy Prattin. So, yeah, lots of events there.
And if we see anything about a live stream, we'll stick that on our Instagram as well. That's Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Brigham Sports things are run by Vicente Madao, aren't they? Who is Amy Pratt's coach. So yeah. I wonder if she's kind of doing that instead of the European Championships, because they're quite close together, aren't they? If she was going to try and race in both.
Yeah, I imagine the opportunity to run a fast time and in Amy Pratt's case get the Olympic standard that she hasn't got yet. I imagine that's kind of a better chance at that event than the European Team Championships. They're a good event. There's a few good athletes, but not, and yeah, it's not guaranteed to be fast, I suppose, without pacemakers and stuff like that.
Yeah, she's got her priority to try and get that standard. Also good to see Jenny Nesbitt and Lily Partridge have a go over 5,000 with the up-and-coming 10,000. It's good to see what shape everyone's in the lead-up to that.
Yeah, it'd be good to see Jenny in, I think, pretty much every race I've seen her in so far. The comeback 5,000, the BMC, she's been either ahead by 20 seconds, and she kind of ran good times, but not maybe the times she'd want or kind of she's capable of. So it'd be good, hopefully, to see her in a race where she's not kind of beating everyone by miles and, yeah, has a chance to run fast.
Best of luck to Jenny for that. Okay, guys, so for the last thing to do then is just to introduce today's interview. And as we mentioned a couple of times already, I sat down and spoke with Tom Mortimer. So Tom Mortimer, who's just been selected to run at the Team European Championships, runs at Loughborough University, runs for Stroud AC, has had some big wins recently, notably at the podium 5K and on the track at the BMC in Trafford. So we speak about those races, talk about his training a little bit. He's got some quite strong opinions on the super shoes, which we have a chat about, which is interesting, and just a really nice guy. Chatted for about an hour. So we hope you enjoy that interview. Thanks very much for listening. And George, best of luck for your race. And I'm sure we'll discuss it next time.
Yep. Thank you.
Cheers, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers. See ya.
This week on Track, we are delighted to be joined by an athlete who has made a name for himself on the national scene with some high-profile performances, Tom Mortimer. We are talking to Tom after a very successful recent block of racing, during which he has won both the podium 5K in April and more recently a BMC 5000 on the track at Trafford, both in a time of 13:39. Tom runs for Stroud AC, currently trains at Loughborough University, and has also had successes on the cross-country scene, where he's represented GB. Tom also had a stellar junior career, which saw him represent both England and Great Britain, including the under-20 European cross-country champs, and on the track over 5,000 metres at the under-20 Europeans and at the World Championships in 2017 and 18. We are also chatting to Tom the day after it's been announced that he's been selected to represent GB at the European Team Championships over 5,000 metres in Poland on the 29th of May. So delighted Tom has taken some time out to talk to us here at Track. Hi, Tom, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. You?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Thanks so much for giving up some of your time to chat to us. I suppose the first thing to say is congratulations on that. It's Wednesday today, so yesterday's announcement that you'll be running for GB over 5,000 at the Team European Championships. How did that come about?
I don't really know, to be honest. I put my name down for the 3K. They sent out an email saying, like, if you're interested. And, I just got the call on Monday. And it's funny, usually sort of you can tell whether you've been selected for something or not. They'll sound like sort of happy or a bit like, unlucky sort of thing. And he goes, oh, you've been selected. But he didn't sound like too sort of excited. And I was like, oh, I don't know, what's coming? And he goes, but in the 5K, not the 3K? And so I didn't realise it was a 5K. So, I was really happy because obviously that's my better distance. So, yeah, it's just a really exciting day, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. So you originally thought there was just a 3K, so you put your name forward for that, but they said...
Yeah.
Okay, and have they selected a man in the 3K?
Yeah, I think it's Tom Anderson, who's been... Okay. I think he's out in Seattle and Washington, and yeah, right. Running well. Yeah,
very good. So that's taking place so at the end of this month, so not a huge sort of time between now and then. So what does your... Am I right in thinking you might be doing a 3K this weekend at the Loughborough International?
Yeah, I'm doing 1500 now, sort of because of... Yeah, because of that.
Okay.
But yeah, so that should be interesting. I was going to do a 15 at Sport City, but obviously, yeah. So no, it's quite... training's been going really well, so it'd be interesting to see how I do on the shorter stuff.
Yeah, great. So it looks like there's going to be teams from France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Portugal, Spain, and the Ukraine. And
yeah.
It'll be a sort of 2-day fixture, as we said, in Poland.
Yeah.
Cool. So you're expecting there's probably going to be some quick guides in there, you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'll be hanging on. I'll be a bit out of my depth, but that'll be really nice. Hopefully, yeah, it'd be a really good experience, and just try and get as many points as I can. Definitely, yeah.
1500, you said this weekend. So, how do you build, or how do you lead up to like a big event or a big race? Will all your sessions now be very much 5000 meter based, or do you just carry on doing what you're doing?
To be honest, I think it's fairly similar. I sort of run quite well off like 1500 training. So I've got quite a lot of the strength work in from the winter. And now it's sort of like a 1500 session, a 5K session every week, sometimes at a 10K, sometimes a little bit quicker. Yesterday I did a K, 5 4s and 6 2s as sort of like a 1500, I think, prep session. I think I was doing it for 3K as well.
Okay.
And then today I've got some fresh old stuff. So yeah, pretty similar.
A track session yesterday, a threshold type thing today. Is it quite often you do sort of like back-to-back hard days, or is that
To be honest, yeah, it's sort of in the winter we'll do Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and it'd be like usually hills on the Saturday. Sort of Tuesday would be maybe mile reps, and Thursday would be a tempo. And then in the summer, like today's session is quite easy. It's like quite a light pace. I think I've got 4x4 minutes off 90. In the track season, it sort of becomes the Tuesday, and then the Wednesday is like a easier threshold sort of thing. And then Saturday will be, I think usually it's Saturday's 15 and Tuesday's 5. But yeah, a bit of sort of mixed paces throughout the week.
What are your thoughts sort of mentally going into that 5000 at the end of the month? Is it a case of going for a time, or just going there to compete in the race as it unfolds?
I think I'll definitely just try and compete in the race. If I end up getting a quick time out of it, that'd be great. I think I've got a bit more on the tank time wise, so that'd be great. But to be honest, I think I've got a lot better at races now rather than going for times, and it seems to be paying off. It's all the shoes, really. The new shoe technology. I'm not a big fan of it. I think it should have been banned, sort of thing. Okay. So now, like last year, I tried in the BM season that not wearing them, and then just wearing the champs. And this year, I've sort of just given in and gone all in. So, sort of to me now, the times don't mean as much. So I just try and win races, and I've ended up running quite quick out of it as well, which is lovely. But yeah.
So on the track then, what shoes were you wearing? Was it the Dragonflies?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And over the road, you're wearing sort of the Next Percents, are you?
I got sent some of the Hoka Rocket X. I really like them. They feel sort of a bit more like an old flat. They're sort of a bit lower profile, but they've got the carbon plate in, so they feel really springy as well. So
okay.
Yeah.
And no, I'm sort of rushing ahead through my questions here, but that's fine. No sponsorship as such, no sort of full-time sponsorship for yourself?
Not yet. I think maybe, hopefully, sort of in the works now, which is really exciting. I've been sent a bit of kit from a few different companies, and yeah, that's always really exciting. You get a big box and it's like, but hopefully soon or one day, that'll be really exciting.
Perfect. Okay, we'll look forward to seeing that pop up and
yeah
celebrate that. Okay. Let's take a step back or so. So 1500 this weekend. Currently I've got your PB down here as 3:47:26 last year at BMC in Lee Valley. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I suppose again it depends how the race unfolds, but do you feel that that PB's in sight this year?
Yeah, definitely. I think I don't race that many 1500s, so when I do, I usually PB, like especially sort of first race of the season. I think it's for me one of my sort of easier PBs to break. Like when it goes to a 5K, it's, you know, if I have a good race, I PB. If I don't, I won't. Whereas 1500, I usually turn up and PB. So, but yeah, it's just, I think it's something I've not got the hang of how to race a 1500 yet. I always get to sort of two laps in and think like, oh, it's quite hard this, I should probably settle in now. And then, yeah, the next lap it's over. And sort of think, oh, probably should have just picked up. So hopefully I'll get a bit more practice in this year and go a bit quicker, yeah.
It seems from the outside looking in that you are someone who very much takes races on. You often seems like you go out hard and quite often you're leading. And we've seen that actually in some of your big performances recently. But I suppose there's a trade-off, and sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't perhaps pay off. Yeah. Do you think that's fair to sort of sum up your racing strategy? And
definitely, yeah. I think I've got more... I think almost before, I wasn't very realistic with my targets. So I'd go in, I'd go for, you know, this is going to be my best race ever sort of thing. Every race, I'd look at it like that and, you know, go for it and think, if I have a perfect day, I'll hold on to this. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I'm much more sort of conservative. So I think I'd do it when, you know, I sort of run not within myself, but within sort of a limit for like an average day as opposed to like, you know, perfect day. And then if I feel good towards the end, you can pick it up a bit more. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, that's obviously worked a lot better than before. It would always be, I'd be sort of minor positions because I'd take it, let it out, and then everyone comes past and sort of thing. But no, definitely race tactics wise, I'm getting there slowly. I've got more speed than I sort of accredited myself with, I think. I always surprise myself sometimes in sprint finishes. I don't expect it from myself, and then it comes together sort of thing. So yeah, I think definitely 1500 will be a good opportunity to test my kick sort of, hopefully in future races. Yeah, show that a bit more.
Actually, one of the races I watched in the lead up to this interview was your under 20s performances. I think that was at the Worlds. And you, again, you took that one out hard, and in the race with Jakob Ingebrigtsen and others, and you sort of put 50 meters into those guys in the first half or so.
Not great. Yeah. The Euros one.
Euros, okay. In,
yeah, 2017. Yeah. I sort of went in with a bit of an injury and I didn't really know what to do. It was going to be my first GB vest. So I was like trying everything to, it was my calf, and I was trying everything to sort of sort it out. I got it to a point where I thought, you know, like the adrenaline will get me through, which I make that mistake all the time. It's never worth it if you've got a bit of an injury. Sort of the most sensible thing to do is not race, but I'm terrible at making that decision. So I think Manchester International, I did the same thing. I was just being an idiot, really. But yeah, I wasn't very good at the sort of the quick accelerations while my calf was bad. So I thought I'll go out at sort of a solid pace. It ended up, I think it was only like 74s I was doing, but I just couldn't run properly. And yeah, quickly went out the back. And it was pretty embarrassing. But yeah, one of those things. I've learned my lesson now.
And is that something that coaches and other people have try to get across to you, or do you think that's just something you've learned from racing, and perhaps ones that don't go right you sort of learn from?
Yeah, I think it's a bit sort of learning myself, because obviously I sort of say how bad, you know, my leg feels or whatever, so in a lot of ways I end up making that decision kind of myself anyway, just through, I'll be like, oh, I think it's feeling a bit better, and then they'll be like, oh, okay, race then. And really it's sort of more wishful thinking on my part. I'm like, in my head it feels better because I want it to feel better. But yeah, I'm definitely, I've learned my lesson now. There's been a few races recently, like there's one indoor a few years ago, but I pulled out of because I was, you know, I thought I don't want that to happen again. No more 16-minute 5Ks. Yeah.
As I said, I thought you might be running the 3000 this weekend. So I had a quick look and you were so close to breaking that 8 minute barrier.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that something that, obviously not this weekend now, but looking forward, that's obviously must be on your to-do list.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've got it like in there, definitely. I think I ran that eight, sort of, yeah, I'll say 8:01 because it was like 0.99, wasn't it?
I got here, yeah.
But yeah, I think I ran most of that on my own, so I've definitely got it in there. But again, with the new spikes, I'm looking at some races at the end of the season, get the old spikes on. And I think Chris and Sonia, who have coached at Loughborough, kind of think I'm a bit of a muppet for this. But yeah, I'd quite like to get the old spikes on, go sub eight. Okay. I think maybe I've got 13:30 in me, sort of old spikes. And four of a mile would be really nice. And then I'm happy. I'll go dragonflies for the rest of my life. So it doesn't matter then. But yeah, it'd be nice to get those picked off first. Definitely.
That's really interesting. So you feel like they'd be more credible. You would look upon those times a little bit more proudly if you'd done them in all
yeah,
bikes.
To be honest, yeah. It's probably a bit silly. I don't know. But definitely, especially like 4 minute mile, I kind of feel, you know, if I could get on a Cinders track and try it, I would. I don't know what it is, but I'm just like that. So and the all-time list as well, I quite like to look through that. I find that really kind of motivational. Like you look at a lot of sort of heroes, like obviously at Loughborough we've got like Dave Moorcroft, Jack Buckner and John Brown, and George always used to sort of, you know, sit down and have a conversation and they'd be talking about those. And so yeah, sort of look at them. I think I'd like to run as fast as they did. And obviously like at podium around that 13:39. I looked on the all-time list, sort of level with Dave Moorcroft, but then, yeah, it doesn't mean as much. I don't think. So that's sort of why I'm against him. I don't see how it makes any difference to sort of head-to-head competition. As long as everyone's got them, it doesn't make any difference to that. But it sort of ruins, or I think it ruins the time aspect of the sport. But yeah, I don't know. That's just me. Yeah.
No, that's really interesting to hear someone who's sort of at the sharp end of things at the moment having that opinion. So are you someone who very much, would you call yourself a fan of the sport, a historian of the sport? You like to look back and...
Yeah, I quite like, you know, YouTube videos, all of that.
Okay, great. So who would be the one sort of historic running figure that you would look up to most or you enjoy watching most?
I don't know really. I'll probably, just because he's Loughborough, say Dave Moorcroft, and obviously he's a 5k guy, which is sort of, I see the 5k as my event, so yeah, probably Dave Moorcroft. I'm quite a big fan of Craig Mottram as well. I think he runs his races sort of, you know, from a little way out. He didn't have a big kick, and yeah, I always admire that. I think that was quite good, because I don't have a kick as much, so
that's really interesting. Okay, I was going to ask you actually about, ties in a little bit now, we're speaking on Wednesday the 19th and this evening Joshua Cheptegei, I don't know if you know, is attempting the 3000 meter world record of 7:20, which is a record that stood about 25 years old, Daniel Coman. I was going to ask you if you're someone who sort of tunes in and watches those sorts of events and get excited about those sort of
Definitely,
world record attempts, or it sounds like though you're more of a head-to-head racer kind of guy compared to a world kind of guy.
It's funny, I love the world record attempts and all that. I think I love that sort of thing. I know I say about the spikes and all that, but I still watch them and think that's amazing, and love it. So it's funny. It's just one of those things, I guess. I'm more sort of critical about my performances in them rather than, like, I don't look at anyone else who's wearing the spikes and think, oh, they're only running that because of the spikes. It doesn't really enter my mind, sort of thing. But it's just when I run in them, I always think in the back of my mind, it's there that I have the spikes on, and, you know, what would that really have been, sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, no, when I'm watching world record attempts, I love it. I think it's great.
So do you think he'll break that record tonight?
I think he's got a good chance. I mean, I think it's meant to be like the toughest distance record, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, who knows? But if he does, it'd be impressive. But, yeah.
Well, people listening to this will know whether he's done it or not. So
yeah.
I assume, I don't know, I assume they're going to have the lights around the track as well.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the lights? Similar to the shoes? You're not into?
I guess a bit similar to the shoes. I don't think they make as much difference, I'll be honest. I can't imagine me running around sort of looking at the lights and that helping me somehow. Like I find when I'm running behind someone, I find it a lot easier to like relax into my running. And I think I'm more efficient then. But in terms of, yeah, they're down by feet, aren't they? I don't know. Yeah.
Have you raced with them? Have you had a chance?
No, I've never raced with them. But yeah, it'd be good to one day, definitely. I think it'd be interesting.
Okay, Tom, we mentioned a couple of those sort of big performances in the intro. Get into those a little bit, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
So most recently, people might have seen you win the Trafford BMC 5,000 meters. That was the 8th of May, 1339.
Yeah.
Looked like a fairly wet and windy night. You're obviously in the men's A race. Again, you took the lead, led for a fair amount of the race. How did the race pan out for you? And were you happy with the performance overall?
Yeah, I was buzzing with it. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, we had a lot of love for a lot running, so they were all on the sidelines sort of cheering for me, which is, that's always lovely. But yeah, it was a bit of a surprise really. I sort of I hadn't asked for that quick. I'd sort of put down 13:40 or something. So I sort of, when someone had put down 13:32, I was like, oh, it's brilliant, you know, I'll just sit in and get carried around and again just try and win it. But yeah, sort of see Johnny dropping off the pacemaker a bit, and I wasn't sure whether he just didn't want to be at the front when the pacemaker was dropped out or whether he was struggling. But yeah, part of me was like, I think the sensible part of me is always like, oh, don't take that up. And but yeah, for what I can't help myself. So ended up coming around. And then yeah, it was Tom Marshall pacemaking, and I'm not very good at running right behind people. I'm quite lanky and legs are all over the place, so I either try and like sort of tuck on the inside or the outside. And I think he thought I wanted to come past because I was sort of like on the outside of him, because I think he was keen to do another lap but thought I wanted to come by, which is a bit of a shame. But yeah, I was just surprised when I got a big gap. I wasn't expecting that, and yeah, I've got much better at hanging on to the pace and running my own. So yeah, all in all, it was just, I was really happy with it.
Yeah, great. Are you someone who runs with a watch and sort of always checking the time, or are you very much racing or running by feel?
I've got a bit of a sort of superstition for races, I guess. I won't wear the watch at all. Always take it off, have to give it to, you know, coach or mum and dad, that sort of thing. But in training, I quite like it. I use Strava and all that. But yeah, I quite like, to be honest, just the map. Sounds really dumb, but especially when you're in a new place, it's I think it's really nice being able to look at the GPS after, see where you've gone, and sort of helps me get to know a place better, I think, because in your head you can sort of map the place out and be like, oh, I've been there. And yeah, so I quite like that. And then just take Mick out of each other really. Sort of find each other after that, splits and that. So yeah,
how long have you been in Loughborough now, Tom? Is it 3 years?
This is my fourth year, so last year.
Yeah,
I don't really know what I'm doing after, but yeah.
That was my next question. So presumably you're getting to the end of handing in dissertations or whatever, and
okay,
but you're not sure what's happening next year?
No, I've no idea. I think I'll probably go home to Stroud for a bit, sort of work it all out, and I think I'll try and get like a part-time job and stay focused on running a bit, because obviously it's going really well for me, and I really enjoy it, so it'd be nice just to give it, you know, a real go. But even if I had to get a full-time job sort of thing, I'd keep it going. I love it. So whatever happens, running's definitely gonna be there.
Great. So I mentioned Chris Brown in my intro, and obviously Chris and Sonia McGeorge, who we've interviewed on this podcast before, are your coaches. What does that balance look like? Is it all Chris and Sonia at the moment, or
so it's sort of been the last couple of years. Obviously Chris was until uni. It's kind of quite different training. Like I'm doing quite a bit more mileage now, which I think has been quite good. Obviously uni, I'm a bit older now, so I cope with it much better. And I'm a bit more sensible. I didn't used to be very good at my easy runs. I'd be smashing them at like 5:50s and that sort of thing. So it's a bit more mileage, a bit more sort of strength stuff. When I go back to Stroud in the summer, I often jump back in on Stroud sessions, which is nice. Like the old group there, still know quite a lot of them. So yeah, it's nice. But while I've been at uni, sort of during term time, it's been George for the first 3 years and then Chris and Sonia for last year. So yeah.
Obviously, George, first 3 years, what was it like being coached by someone with such a history in the sport, such knowledge, such experience? What was he to you?
Yeah, it was amazing, really. He was an incredible coach. I think he was, as much as a coach, he sort of taught you how to do it yourself almost. He'd be happy to sort of almost let you make mistakes. He'd say, oh, I'm not sure about how you should do it, but then let you try it and that sort of thing. It was amazing. Just obviously have like meetings with him to discuss the season, and he'd be telling you about his old athletes and that. I love that sort of side of the sport, so I found that really interesting. We went on an altitude camp with him first year, out to Boulder in Colorado. And we were in the house with him, and it was, he's just a great guy. Good fun. It was interesting 4 weeks. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, great. That's nice. So I suppose it depends on sponsorship and everything after uni, but do you see yourself joining a training group after leaving Loughborough, or just sticking with the Stroud group? What do you think is going to happen there?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I've not really given it that much thought. I've sort of given it a bit of thought, but then people on every day, it's like a different plan sort of thing. I think, oh, that would be a good idea. So nothing really set in stone at the moment. Okay. But hopefully, it'd be nice to join a group. It's obviously, that's something I think with Loughborough has been really good. Like at Stroud, obviously it was a nice group, but it was sort of in the junior group.
Sure.
So with some of the shorter stuff, when I was doing like 800, 1500 sessions, I'd have guys train with, but the longer stuff I'd be on my own. Mm. And then I went to Loughborough, and it's like Jamie Williamson, Paddy Beaver, Will Fuller, Jay Roster, all of them. And just struggling to hang on. And I think I made some really big improvements in those first 2 years. And then it's sort of gone back now. I'm like one of the older guys, but obviously we've got guys like Rory and Luke. And loads of guys. So it's more being almost pushed, not from behind, but I feel like I should be at the front now. Whereas before it was, if I get dropped, it's kind of not the end of the world. They're a couple of years older than me.
Yeah.
It's nice being able to sort of almost decide the pace a bit more myself now. When I was in first year, I'd be like, oh, I think we should do this pace. And it'd be like, no, shut up, Tom. I wasn't very good at listening. They like to build into the reps, start off nice and slow, and every rep quicker. I like to hit every rep the same. Right. They'd be starting like 450 mile. I'd do a 440 or something, and then they'd be finishing at 430s. I'd still be 440. So I think I wound them up a bit, but we're all good mates. It was all good fun.
Yeah. But you mentioned Rory Leonard, Luke Duffy. Mm-hmm. You would expect guys like them to sort of the next few years really push on, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they're both absolutely flying at the moment. And yeah, a couple of other guys as well, like Matt Stone is, he's just come back from injury, I think, but already absolutely flying. Ben Patterson on short stuff, obviously don't train with him as much. If I did, I think I'd be put out the back a lot. But it's an amazing group at the moment. It's really exciting just to see everyone racing so well. Even like in my house, I live with a couple of other runners. And we all went up to Trafford together, all PBs, massive PBs. And yeah, it's just great fun then. You sort of drive home, everyone's buzzing. And yeah.
Right. Was it always going to be Loughborough for you, Tom? Or did you look at different universities who were sort of hot on their running?
I had a look at different unis, but I think I always knew Loughborough was one I wanted to go to. Sort of, I think my second choice was like Heriot Watt or something. I think Edinburgh's really beautiful place. So, and then I was looking at like Birmingham and Sheffield. But yeah, definitely Loughborough was pretty much Loughborough bus sort of thing. I really wanted to come here.
Yeah, great. And what did you study, just out of interest?
Mechanical engineering. it's been interesting. It's a lot of work. But we've made it through last week now, so yeah, it'd be nice to have it done, I'll be honest. Have a bit of time not doing any work, but yeah, it's been really interesting.
Okay, great. The second performance I wanted to mention, obviously we've touched upon it already a little bit, is the podium 5K, start of April, 13:39.
Yeah.
As well, same time as the track. A fairly big night for lots of reasons, but how did it play out for you? On the stream that we saw, you sort of get to see the runners once or twice per lap. So it's you never really know who's going to come round at the front of the pack. So how did the race play out for you?
I just sort of, my plan was to sit in and go, I think with a K to go, sort of leave it till the last lap and then really, you know, all in, go for it. But it ended up, I think the first pre-laps, we sort of went, I think 2:42, 2:51, I think, and then back down to a 2:44. I was just sort of sitting on the shoulder of whoever's leading then. That's sort of my tactic. Because I quite like having a bit of room for my legs in front of me, like I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
I'd like to be at the front for that, but also sort of on the shoulder, because it helped me sort of relax a bit more. And then I was feeling really good, to be honest. It's sort of one of those days, you know, as you're running, sort of like, this is going to be a great run. And it got to 2K to go, and I could hear Phil breathing. I think it might just be his normal breathing, but sounded like a little bit like raspy almost. And I was like, oh, is that Phil hurting sort of thing? And obviously, I think everyone was looking at Phil. He's flying. I follow him on Strava, and the training he does is absolutely incredible. Like, with being a doctor as well, I've no idea how he does that. It's just so impressive. In my head then, I sort of thought, if Phil's hurting a bit, this might be the time to start sort of putting pressure on. So just went to the front and, yeah, started going for it. When he came past me 400 to go, I thought I was a gunner, but you know, he's just gone now, and that's that. But luckily had a little bit left, and yeah, but it was pretty hit and miss at that point. I think could have gone either way.
Would you say that was your biggest win at that stage in your career, or have you had other sort of big wins? It feels like a really big event now, the podium fight.
Yeah, so. I'd say it's definitely up there. I think some of the age group stuff, a mini marathon. I've never thought of myself as being a very good road runner, but obviously I think two of my biggest wins are mini marathon podium. Maybe I'm wrong, but yeah, definitely one of the top races I've ever had. Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned the mini marathon. So that was, as I believe, in 2016, as an under 17, was that?
I think it's on school years, so oldest I could have been, Yeah, I'm not sure how old I was.
And that's the final 3 miles basically of the marathon, isn't it? The London Marathon.
Yeah.
What, you ran it in 14:14, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
What do you remember from that day? Is that something that you'd sort of vivid in your memory?
Yeah, it was just I think that was one of the things that made that race really great for me, is it was just such a shock. I hadn't really had much of a cross-country season. I'd been injured a lot on the bike, and then I think I had like 3 or 4 weeks back running before that. And obviously the bike, I think, is kind of underrated cycling for training, for running, because I was pretty fit, and it was just a matter of almost getting sort of the form, running form back, getting used to not spinning your legs and, striding out. So yeah, I went into it not expecting that much, and just felt amazing. And then obviously again in a sprint with Jake Hayward, sort of he came past me, I thought, well, that's it. And yeah, just the whole thing was a massive shock, and I think that made it that bit more sort of special, really. Sometimes when you're expecting to win, it's more like of a relief when you do. Like I always find, I used to get most nervous for district schools cross country, because you think, if I don't win this, it's, I'm never gonna live it down, sort of thing. But yeah, just the shock of that was made it really special.
Great. That was the year I had a quick look. So I think Kipchoge won his second London. I think he defended his title that year. Sumgong won the women's race. Did
It
you
is.
manage to see any of the elite race, or were you sort of away by then?
I think we did, but to be honest, I was not quite with it at that point. I think you as well, it's really early morning. I think you get up at like 4 or 5. So I was sort of a mix of just like exhausted, excited, and just, but yeah, I remember we sort of stopped by the side, watched a few of them go by, and yeah, I have no idea who it was, to be honest. But no, it is always one of the other years I remember watching Mo Farah go by, and that's it is pretty crazy when you get to see guys like that race, how fast they go. I mean, you see it in the times, obviously, but then when you watch them run as well, it makes you realize how much further, you've got to go to get to that level.
The race I wanted to touch upon was the British champs again, over 5,000 last year in September. So third place for you, 13:43 was the time. I won by Mark Scott in the British record, I believe, and then second place with Jack Rowe, and then you came one place ahead of Jake Smith, who's sort of making headlines at the moment. So what do you remember from that race? And am I right in thinking you took on a bit of the work on that day as well?
A little bit, yeah. I avoided it when I could. I think on the second lap, Jake pulled out wide. I was sort of tucked in second. He goes, "Oh, do you fancy taking a lap?" I just went, "No." So I felt quite bad after, because obviously we were together on the last lap. And I think he pulled wide again on the with 500 to go. And he was telling me after that he was worried about the guys coming from behind, so he sort of just wanted to keep the pace high over that last lap. But once he sort of left me a gap on the inside, I just went for it. And yeah, so I felt quite bad. Let him do a lot of work. But I guess that's championship racing, really. You try and save as much energy as you can. But yeah, again, that was a real shock. I sort of looked down the start list and I thought maybe a top five on a really good day. But yeah, ended up obviously with the bronze, and it was really exciting.
Great. A bit of maybe a difficult question for you to answer, Tom, but do you feel like you aren't potentially talked about enough or given as much credit as you deserve sometimes?
Not really. I mean, yeah, I think some of my housemates are like, "Oh, but didn't mention in the commentary at all," and that sort of thing. But I'll be honest, I'm not very consistent. Like obviously someone like Jake has a breakthrough and then he backs up again and again. Whereas I'll have one really good race, like say, I don't know, 2018, I broke 14 for the first time, and then I went to Worlds and ran like 14:40 or something. which wasn't so good. So in a lot of ways, I think you'd probably never know how I'm going to run almost. Like I do, I think I know when I'm going to run well, when I'm not going to run well. But yeah, it doesn't really bother me that much, I'll be honest.
Okay. Yeah, great. Okay, normally run through people's PBs on here, Tom. We've mentioned pretty much most of them. So 1500, 347, 3008.01, 5013.39 on the track and the road. As far as I can see, you've got one 10K on the road at Telford, which is traditionally a very quick race in 29:48.
Yeah.
And then back in 2018, you ran on the track 33:20, but that looks that sort of stands out as a bit of an anomaly against all your other times.
Yeah, that was like the Euro under 20s, obviously, with a slight niggle going in. Right. To be honest, I got the call on that one for selection. I'd had sort of a bit of an ankle problem for a week, and I didn't really know how long it would take to sort itself out. So I said, I don't really want the spot on the team because I'm not sure how I'm going or how I'm going to be going. But I was trying to enter that race anyway because I thought I'd be in shape to go sort of low 29, and I think the British junior record's 29:20, so I sort of had that in the back of my mind. But you couldn't enter the race in under 20, so it wouldn't let you on the entry thing.
Right.
So I sort of, you know, obviously got the call and said, I don't really want the GB spot because I don't know how, you know, I might not end up being able to run by that point. But could you get me entry anyway? And they're sort of like, no, just take the GB spot. And I did a 5K sort of time trial the week before it. Felt fine. And then put my spikes on and, got about 5K and my ankle was shocking. I'm not very good at dropping out races either. I'm sort of quite proud. I've never DNF'd. I think that's something to be proud of. I don't know. A lot of people just sort of seem to, you know, the race isn't going their way and just step off. I'm not a big fan of that. I don't know. I ended up quite stupidly really jogging it around. Obviously 33:20, which isn't ideal. And then spent a few months of not running after that. Definitely 10K I don't think seems to be my strongest event anyway. Definitely on the road I would have expected to go quicker, and then just it didn't happen in the day.
Okay, well, I was going to ask that, it doesn't seem like you've done many, so is that just, do you think, a case of needing a few more races under your belt to really get the most out of that distance, or perhaps stepping up a bit in terms of different sessions?
It might be, yeah, I don't know. Part of me feels, obviously I've done them sort of before Christmas, and we don't really do that much under 10k pace at that time of year. And I think I'm quite reliant on the under pace work. Speed isn't, or sort of speed endurance isn't something that comes back naturally to me. So it could be that, like, I've never done one other than Manchester International, obviously. I've never done one in a track season. I'm not sure if I will, because I don't think it's great for me with the 5K. I think I'm more, when it comes to track, I run my best 5Ks when I run 1500s as well. So it doesn't really fit in with my track season. But yeah, hopefully, I always think it'd be great to get like a winter track 10K. Something like that, I think I've run quite well.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so out of those PBs, is there one that stands out as the one you are most proud of, or one you would sort of think is your best?
Definitely the 5K. I think compared to the 5K one, most of my other PBs aren't probably quite the same level. Probably quite proud of my 800 as well. I've never been that good at the 800, but
it's nice to be substituted. Is it
158? Okay, a lot longer to get sub 2 than it probably should have. But we finally did it, so I was very chuffed with that one.
Did you run that fairly evenly, or did you?
I don't know what happened. It was a few days after 5K. I don't think I was feeling that great, but I went round in 54 first lap and I felt amazing. I was like, this is great. I'm going to smash this. And I was right at the back of the pack at that point. Stupidly decided to go right around the edge of everyone, out in lane three or four round the bend. Right. Got to 300 to go and was spent. And I was like, oh no. 200 to go, everyone comes past. And yeah. But no, we got the sub two and that was the main thing. Got teased about that quite a lot. So yeah.
Very good. And in old school shoes or spikes?
Yeah, yeah. Old school shoes at that point. Yeah.
So it counts.
It all counts. It counts. It's great. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Let's talk about cross country then for a second. Mm-hmm. Tom, it's obviously something that you're strong at as well. Now, am I right in thinking your first GB senior vest was over the country?
No, this next weekend I think will be my first one. Oh. I got an England senior in Stirling a few years back.
Yeah.
A few years, last year probably, was it? I can't remember.
I've got here the Home Nations Cross Country International.
Is that that would have been it. Yeah, yeah. That wasn't my best race either. Okay. A really muddy one. I'm not there. It's funny, I've always been, I think, quite good at cross country compared to the track, but more just because of the distance. I don't think I'm actually that great at cross country. Like sometimes we do at Loughborough a session at a place called Maxwell Drive, which is like it's not that big a field really, but it's quite like a tight, hilly sort of cross country, boggy field. And we've got, it's a massive group at Loughborough. It's like 60 odd guys. So you get a real range. It's really nice. Everyone's got someone to sort of train with. But yeah, I get put out the back of all 60 guys sometimes in those sessions. Right. Just not good at me. I don't know what it is. I blame being big lanky guy. I don't think that helps with cross country, but right. Yeah, I think there's sort of two types of cross country runner, almost like a sort of 1500 guys who've just got that power to sort of get through the mud, and then you're really skinny, sort of floats over top of the mud guy. And I'm really skinny, but I'm also like, I'm pretty heavy. I think I'm like 75 kilos or something.
Okay.
So not, you know, not massive, but I think just because of the height. So I sink quite a lot and don't have the power. So yeah, never been my best.
Do you envisage yourself doing more of that though in the coming years? Are you still committed to every year of the winter doing cross countries?
Yeah, definitely. It's something, it's weird. I always miss track when it's cross country and cross country when it's track, especially not the start of season or not in the middle of the season, but towards the end of the season, I'm thinking, oh, it's a cross country scene, that'd be great. And yeah, there's something lovely about it. I think even though you are just turning up to a field and dipping it down the rain or whatever, but yeah, there's something great about it. So I'll definitely keep it going.
So looking through your power of 10, Tom, obviously myself and George, who you know, and Kat, we're all at Worcester, and you've had a few appearances at Worcester Open meets, and it seems to be a fairly successful stomping ground for you. Did you normally just sort of turn up to every race you could across the sort of where you used to live and just race as much and often as you could?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Worcester is funny, actually. It's my favourite track. I love that track. I'd race at it every race if I could. But yeah, I think it was always my season opener. They used to do a 2K there, I think the spring open. And yeah, I just really enjoy it. It's a lovely track. One of my first races was there, so it's just good memories.
Yeah.
But yeah, I used to go around and do a lot of the open meets just around the area. It was quite nice. Some of the older guys in our training group would pacemate sometimes, so they'd get entry to and run around with you. So yeah, I've tried doing that a few times with some of the younger lot now, and yeah, it's really nice. I think especially like club level athletics, everyone's lovely. That's one of the great things about it. Everyone just wants everyone to do well, and
sure,
yeah, I love it.
Oh, great. So what are your thoughts generally then? We used to ask this of all our guests about the sort of the UK club running scene at the moment. Do you feel like it's in a strong position, and is there anything you think could and should be changed? generally speaking?
I don't know. I think it's always great. I think, it's just little communities, isn't it? It's lovely. In terms of what's been changed, I don't really know. I've always loved like road relays and sort of club events like that. I think are great. So I always thought when they obviously Edinburgh Cross Country they don't do anymore. I think that was one of the best races out there. But I've always thought they should do like a sort of international road relays, maybe mix it in with the one in Sutton Park, because I think that's the best race of the year. Road relays just it's great fun.
Great. Okay, we also like to look at our guest's first entry into Power of 10. Yours is in 2012 as an under 15, and it's the cross country 7AC relays. And it had it's 4x2 miles, so presumably you did a 2 mile leg, is that right? Do you have much of a memory of that, or is that way back?
I've got a feeling. I remember my first few races I wasn't very good at getting there on time. Since then I'm one of those guys, I have to be there hours before, and you know, I get quite sort of panicky about my race being race ready, and everything's got me in my bag and that sort of thing. But back then it wasn't so good. We kept on, it's sort of, you get used to where all the races are as well, like Clockport, obviously there's quite a lot of races there in Gloucestershire, but we had no idea where it was. I think we got lost on the way there. And I remember, I think I, it was, it's quite like a low key one. So I think I missed my leg, but they put someone else in my leg, and I did a later one. And it was okay. You could sort of switch that around. No one was too bothered. But yeah, it was quite funny. I don't really remember much after of actually running it.
Very good. Let's look ahead then, Tom. I've got a question here, sort of Commonwealth standards question mark. Is that something that's sort of, obviously next year, Birmingham, home games, Commonwealth games, presumably that's something that's on your radar and something you might be shooting for?
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to do that. I think that'd be, amazing step up for me. And definitely, I think maybe a year ago, I wouldn't have been sure that would have been a possibility. Whereas now I feel I'm definitely heading the direction that that's something I might manage. That's the target this year, I think, is to get that 13:30, I think it is. It's quite exciting having that sort of to aim for. Quite a long way off, but
That's great. All right, what we'll do, we'd like to wrap up with a few sort of quick fire questions, if that's okay. Nothing too serious. If you could go for a run with any athlete, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, that's, it'd have to be like Kipchoge or someone, wouldn't it? I mean, there's something about Kipchoge, I don't know. I think it'd be really interesting.
Do you have any thoughts about the potential of Bekele Kipchoge in the Olympics? We're hearing it may happen now.
I think if it happens, I think it'd be great.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Obviously, I think it probably would have been better if it had been a few years ago. But obviously, if that happens, I think that would be a really great race.
If you could travel back in time to witness any sporting event live, which one would it be?
I have no idea. Really no clue. I remember you asked Sister Jake Smith, and I thought about it at the time. And now I've...
Are you someone who, are you across lots of different sports? Are you purely an athletics man?
I really like cycling, sort of Tour de France, obviously with Giro's on at the moment. And then, I think Spring Classics I really like watching. I guess something like that. Maybe I didn't watch it live, didn't watch cycling then. But back in 2014, I think Matt Heyman won Paris-Roubaix.
Okay.
And on YouTube, there's the his team did a video about that, and I think that's a really cool race to watch. So maybe that. But probably it'd probably be like 2012 Mo Farah Olympics. Obviously, if you can watch that live, I think that'd be pretty awesome.
You could probably also tack in Wiggins winning the tour and the Olympics in that year as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah,
Something
yeah.
like that. Okay.
All of that. It's crazy. It's been, yeah, it's nice growing up now, obviously, British athletics and cycling, both really good. Or I guess if you go back to sort of the 80s and see, you know, Cochrane and over, that would be pretty cool as well.
Post-race food of choice. So after a big race, are you stopping off anywhere to get some food in?
Yeah, we, well, on the way back from Trafford, it's McDonald's. I think that's probably the usual. Yeah, it'd usually be McDonald's. So always nice picking out. Weirdly, always get a coffee, even though it's usually like midnight when I race, but I can't get to sleep anyway. So figure I might as well just stay up and enjoy it. Yeah.
And what's your Mackey's order normally?
Oh, it varies a bit. I think post Trafford, it was like a Big Mac, chicken mayo, 20 chicken nuggets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And a coffee. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. What's your favorite type of session to do?
Favorite time? I would have always before said like 400s off a short recovery, like 24s or whatever, because I think I recover quite quickly. So okay. I always hit them quite quick compared to what the pace is meant to be, which is always nice. And then back at Stroud, it always used to be 300s because we'd always end up racing it basically, a couple of the guys. And at Stroud, there's not a actual track. It's like a little grass track on a bit of a slope. So you do the first 100 odd uphill, and then it's downhill, flat out sprint against, you know, training partners. So yeah, that would have been my favorite back then.
Great. Do you have like go-to music to either get up for a race or a session?
Not really. I'm a bit weird with my music taste. I'll listen to pretty much anything, but I'll get like a song I quite like and I'll listen to it a lot for, you know, a week, and then get really sick of it, and then when I hear that song again, it just really annoys me. But I quite like just music in general, like quite kind of older stuff. Yeah, when we go on holiday with my parents, they always get a different CD for sort of music from when they were younger, and so I really like sort of Beach Boys, Beatles, Kinks, that sort of thing, just normally. But yeah, pre-race, nothing go to, it'll just be one song I'll have stuck in my head, and yeah.
Okay, Tom, and final question then, when you're sort of setting out before a race, are you laying out your split shorts or half tights?
Split shorts, yeah, yeah, always used to be half tights. I used to have, when I was under 17, a pair of weird sort of shiny blue ones. They're horrible. I'm not sure why I wore them. They're really comfy, but definitely I think there's a limit to sort of substance over style, and there's a point where you have to say, actually no, that looks ridiculous. So yeah, no, split shorts now anyway, so it's all good.
That's great. Thanks so much for spending a bit of time with us, and we wish you all the best of luck for the race on the 29th of May. And
you, yeah.
We'll be sure to check in afterwards and see how you get on.
Cheers. Thanks
for
having me. Yeah.
Cheers.